from the Star Rental Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls. Headlines on a Tuesday afternoon. Brought to you, of course, on Softy and Dick Bye. Wait for it. Our friends at VenueKings.com.
First of all, it's Asa Turner. Hot. Awesome.
Lots of college football postponements, cancellations, whatever you want to call them this weekend, and a lot of them in the SEC. How about this? The SEC is down to four games this weekend right now because Alabama LSU is off. Mississippi State Auburn is off. Texas A&M Tennessee is off. For now, cross your fingers, UW-Oregon State, 8 o'clock kickoff on Saturday, 4 o'clock pregame right here on KJR.
NBA news, the Players Association and the league agreed on a November 18th draft, a November 20th beginning of free agency, and a December 22nd start date to the season. And some sad news, Hall of Fame Celtics star forward and color commentator Tommy Heinsohn has passed away at the age of 86.
More news in the NFL. The owner is approving two measures today. The possible expansion of the playoffs to 16 teams if that becomes necessary. And rewarding teams with two picks between the third and fourth round, two sandwich picks there, for developing a minority assistant or executive who becomes a head coach or GM in the NFL.
White Sox manager Tony La Russa arrested on suspicion of DUI, and he was charged a day before the team hired him.
And the Steelers-Bengals on Sunday, Pittsburgh adding four players to the COVID-19 list, including quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. All four players, though, still may be able to play Sunday against Cincinnati.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live. 41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Happy Tuesday. Lots of stuff to get to. John Wilner, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com, will join us at 3:20 on the radio show. And by the way, I would jump on their Twitter account, at SimplySeattle. They've got Walter Jones autographed merchandise available on their website at SimplySeattle.com. Nice. So I just think, look, man, a year like this where most people are going to be buying their Hanukkah and Christmas presents through the mail online this year, you can bang something out right now with the kids or the Seahawk fan in your life at SimplySeattle.com. So John Wilner, 3:20 with us, talking all things college football, including this developing story in Cal, if the Bears can even stay in Berkeley and expect to have a college football season this year.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't have anything to talk to Wilner about today. The Cal situation, is Utah ever going to play a football game?
I think they're doing okay for now, but you never know come Saturday, right?
It's just, it's incredible. And as you mentioned, the three SEC games now.
Yep.
I called it, I think off the air to you yesterday, I called it kind of a house of cards. It certainly feels like college football right now is just kind of hanging on. It's baleen wire, it's bubble gum, and it's just kind of hanging on right now. We're just trying to get ourselves through the next six to eight weeks to get it over with.
Well, it's very precarious. There's no question about that. I mean, this feels very uncertain. So far, I think fans, for the most part, have dealt with this fairly well. You know, schools, I think if you did not go into this college football season knowing that there was a decent chance you were going to have to cancel some games, then you're not paying attention to what's happening in reality. So anybody who's like, what? This is insane. How can we cancel a football game? I mean, dude, right? If you're paying attention for 5 minutes to anything happening outside your own house, you knew this was possible. So for Washington, my God, man, every minute we get closer to the Oregon State game on Saturday, you kind of want to feel like, hey, this is really happening. But then you feel like there's also a chance you could wake up Saturday morning and find out that a game is called off, you know, because of COVID. So it is very uncertain. It's very unreliable. There's no question about that. Everything is possible with this football season. And now the NFL, Dick, is talking about potentially if they have to. And I guess what this would mean is this. If there's a game in like week 17 or week 16, that is for the 7 seed in any one of these conferences,
right?
Meaning the team that wins gets the playoff berth and the team that loses is out. If there's a game like that that can't be played because of COVID, they could just say, okay, both you guys are in. And we're going to an 8-team format in each conference, and we're not having a bye, which plays up to, obviously, the poll that you put out today on Twitter.
Let's update it, shall we?
Which I think is very appropriate considering what the NFL did this afternoon.
Yeah, I basically, and you know, I think strategically timed this one because I like to time these polls after a terrible Seahawk loss, because I know how people like to jump off Seahawk wagons after a terrible Seahawk loss. Yeah, and if I offered you the two if I threw this poll out 5 days ago, it would be exactly the opposite.
Right.
But if I offered you the two seed in the NFC right now, would you take it? And the options are, hell yeah, did you watch Sunday? Or, hell no, they're getting the one seed. And as you might imagine, because people are, you know, they have short-term memories, and they don't remember the Seahawks were 6-1 through the first seven games, they picked 64%. Hell yeah, did you watch Sunday? And I would vote for the other side, and it's not because I'm being overly optimistic about the Seahawks' chances. I would vote it because of the new playoff structure. That's why I would, because remember, the old playoff structure, it was the 1 and 2 seed that had the big advantage over everybody else. So the 2 seed was a very, very coveted spot.
Yeah.
I would ask you this year, why is the 2 seed really any more coveted than the 3 seed? Okay, if you play the 2 seed against the 3 seed, you'd have a home game in front of nobody.
Yeah.
And you don't have a first round bye anyway. So really, the 2, the 3, the 4, there's not a huge difference this year between the 2 and the 3 and the 4. Really, the 1 seed is the only big gap, with the rest of them being kind of the same.
So, okay, I'm confused. So you would take the you would not take the 2?
No,
right,
I'd
now?
Throw it back. Okay. I'd throw that fish back and see if and try to play for the 1, because honestly, I think the Seahawks have just as good a chance as any other team. I really don't see a favorite in the NFC right now.
Well,
because as I mentioned yesterday, it's kind of a flavor of the week. One day the Hawks look great. Yeah. One day the Bucks look great. Okay. One day the Saints look great. One day the Packers look great. And nobody's consistent.
Well, let me just say this. First of all, I don't think the number one seed means nearly as much this year, because there's no fans in the stands.
But it's the only bye. That's why.
Right. But there's also nobody there. So the idea of getting to play the divisional game and the championship game at home, I mean, why do you want the games at home? Because you get the home field. There's no crowd. There's no fans.
Right.
I mean, the Hawks, I mean, this is going to be a totally different environment for them. So
absolutely.
I don't think the one seed, I mean, I've gone from thinking the one seed's going to be huge because there's only one of them, to now thinking it may not be as big because there's no fans there. And now the one seed may not even have a bye if this thing goes down. If they do 8 teams in each conference,
correct,
then the one seed, then there is no bye. And the only difference between the 1, the 2, and the 3, and the 4 is giving you a better chance to host a game at home with no fans, and you're not getting the week off. So, I mean, look, I think right now, to answer your question, would I take the number 2 seed right now? You got 4 teams in the NFL that are neck and neck and neck and neck. The Saints, the Packers, the Seahawks, and Tampa Bay. Hell, you want to throw the Cardinals in there? Go ahead. I mean, 4 of those teams are right there for the number 1 seed. So if you take the number 2 seed, in a year of parity in the NFL, where maybe the one seed doesn't mean as much because there are no fans on the stands, there's a chance that that one seed goes out and that two seed gets to host the NFC Championship game, right?
I mean,
if this is a year of parity, which I totally agree with you, it is in the NFC, there's a good chance that that number 2 seed gets to host the NFC Championship game. So, look, I mean, I just believe that seeding right now doesn't mean nearly as much as it used to. There's no fans. There's a chance there may be no bye for anybody if the NFL goes to this 8-team format. So, really, whether it's the 1 or the 2, tell me the matchups. You know, I mean, tell me who they're going to play. That's what I'm concerned about.
Perfect example is the NBA to what you're saying. Clippers bounced. Bucks bounced. The seeding didn't mean crap.
Exactly.
And so that's a great point. Now, I will say, if you're telling me there will be, let's say we do have big time cancellations and there will be a 16 team tournament, then I am totally with you.
Yeah.
I'm signing up for the 2 right now because I totally agree. There's not much in that scenario. There's almost no difference between the 2 and the 1 seed. I'm sticking with the 1 seed right now because you are the only team in your conference that gets to rest and watch everybody else beat each other up. And because of the parity, hell, the 2, 3, and 4 might lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Right now, the 1 seed plays San Francisco if they go to 8 teams. Right now, the two seed plays Chicago if they don't go to eight
teams.
That's
a tough out.
So, you know, who do you get more concerned about? Are you more concerned about Chicago? Are you more concerned about the Niners? Yeah, their defense is good, but their offense is awful, right, in Chicago. So that doesn't concern me much from a Seahawks defensive perspective. I mean, it's a great question, clearly. You know, look, I just think this. I think if you take the number two seed, then you're taking triple bogey out of play, which means losing the NFC West championship. Correct.
That's true.
Cardinals are 5-3, and you're 6-2. They're a game behind you, and they have the tiebreaker right now because they already beat you one time. So if you give me the two seed, you are taking triple bogey out of play. You are guaranteeing the NFC West championship. You're guaranteeing at least one game where the Seahawks don't have to travel potentially to the East Coast. I would be just this year more concerned about two things. Number one, the travel. Going somewhere like that, playing 3,000 miles away, and then number two, the matchup. Give me the matchup that best suits the Seahawks defense.
And what is that?
I don't want to see Kyler Murray again, I can tell you that, in the playoffs.
So you'd want to see Chicago or San Francisco.
I would rather see a team with a potted plant for a quarterback that can't run. That's what I would love to see. Okay? So for me, Tampa Bay, I'd rather face Tom Brady than Kyler Murray in the playoffs, to be totally honest with you.
I agree with you.
Absolutely.
I agree.
So if I can avoid a matchup like that, that's what I would love to look at. Clearly, it's too early to project that because it's only week 9 in the NFL. But I don't know, man. I kind of feel like I would take the two seed.
Okay.
Just because I don't think the one seed has much of an impact this year. If they do go to eight teams. Specifically, if they go to eight teams.
And I'm with you if they go to eight teams.
All right, let's do this. 312. John Wilner will join us next on the radio show. Lots to get to, including Cal's situation down there in Berkeley. Are they going to have to move their operation to Oakland or Santa Clara or San Jose and go somewhere where they can actually play football? What about Utah? What about UW this Saturday versus Oregon State? Is he buying what he saw from the Cougs this weekend? Lots to get to with John Wilner, courtesy of Simply Seattle, next on 950 KJ.
It's time for our weekly Pac-12 conversation with San Jose Mercury News reporter John Wilner. Brought to you by Simply Seattle. Our friends at SimplySeattle.com have the most amazing collection of all things Seattle. Seahawks gear, UW hats, and the largest selection of Sonics gear anywhere in the world. Learn more at SimplySeattle.com.
I know this. I like getting all my holiday shopping done early. I got friends of mine, which I'm sure you have as well, Dick, that wait until like Christmas Eve to get their stuff done.
It's too stressful. I did that one year, and I vowed I would never, ever do that again.
Not going to happen. So SimplySeattle.com has Walter Jones autographed merchandise available. Great way to bang out some Christmas shopping now. SimplySeattle.com. I just threw it out on Twitter. The link is on my Twitter account at SoftyKJR, so check that out. All right, here he is, a guy who, week one in the books, did not include Arizona, Utah, UW, or California. We're hoping the Dogs get going Saturday against Oregon State, but you never know. John Wilner with us right now, courtesy of our friends at Simply Seattle. John, Dick, and I were talking on the air last segment about this, I think you said House of Cards, college football season. Things are kind of precarious right now. Very uncertain. Lots of games in the SEC getting canceled this year. Is there a part of you that is a little fearful that maybe college football itself is on the precipice of getting shut down entirely?
Well, it's on the precipice. I don't know about getting shut down entirely, but we could, you know, see a stretch here where there are a lot of games missed over the course of a week or two while teams kind of get themselves readjusted. I don't know exactly, you know, what has caused this. I realize that the virus is ticking up in a lot of places around the country. But, you know, what has caused that? I don't know. We'll see. SEC's, I think, canceled 3 games this week, including Alabama, LSU. Yep. Mountain West has canceled. Both, interestingly, service, Air Force and Navy have both canceled. And it's interesting that the service academies are having a hard time, given kind of just the nature of what's going on there. A lot of people thought they would kind of be immune from these kind of problems. So we'll see. It is definitely precarious, and also college basketball is supposed to start in 2 weeks, and who knows if that's going to get going as scheduled.
BYU has played 8 games. Cross-state rival Utah has played 0 games. I mean, just think about that for a second. And, you know, John, let's talk about Utah. They had some issues earlier, obviously didn't play a game, and then the latest on Cal's situation.
Well, you know, I can only go by what, with Utah, their athletic director tweeted that they are hopeful of playing. They've had all negative tests. I think it's 3 days in a row now. I believe they're getting some kids out of quarantine. And I would say that it's plus 50-50 on Utah being able to play. Good. Cal, I'm not sure about Cal. We'll see. They're working with the city of Berkeley to solve this quarantine issue for their defensive line. You know, they still won positive test. That's something I got to continue to emphasize. Cal was shut down last week, one positive test. Mm. They still only have one positive test. And they're trying to figure out a way to avoid missing 2 weeks because of that one positive test. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's not realistic to even expect to have a college football season if you're going to be that stringent about everything. And look, if you want to do that and shut the whole thing down, then great. But, I mean, no league would be able to survive, college or pro or high school, with that kind of attitude. So what exactly is Cal's position? Are they thinking about moving to Santa Clara, San Jose, Oakland? Can they get out of there if they need to? And you're telling me that because of one positive test, all those other players on the defensive line still have to quarantine even today?
Yes, and those players have tested negative since, and they are still in quarantine. And, you know, the city of Berkeley is taking the approach that if you are considered a close contact of an infected person, you've got to quarantine for 14 days no matter how many times you test positive or you test negative. So that's the big issue. Cal has been understandably reluctant to give details because they don't want to violate the student-athlete privacy, but also they don't want to compromise any kind of relationship with the city of Berkeley. My understanding is that Cal believed the exemptions they received from the city in order to let them play in the first place were based on their testing plan and the mitigation steps that they had set up. And now Cal doesn't understand why those, you know, the same rule basically doesn't apply to getting kids out of quarantine. Their view is, well, if you're letting us play because of the testing, shouldn't the testing take care of the contact tracing problems? And I don't know what the city of Berkeley's response is to that, but that's kind of where things stand. And I have to imagine that if Berkeley doesn't relent here, that Cal may talk about trying to move somewhere, because if one player is going to cause an entire position group to shut down and hence cause the team to cancel a game, well, let's say Cal's out for 2 weeks, and then their first day back, the third string right guard tests positive, and they have to shut down the entire offensive line, and then they're out for two more weeks.
Season's over.
And so if Berkeley's not going to relent, I think Cal's only chance to play this year is to actually leave, go to a different jurisdiction, because other places are making accommodations for the quarantine rules based on the testing plan that's in place.
Hmm. How feasible do you think that is to just up and leave and move a team? And where would it be? Oakland? Where would it be?
I don't know. I'm not sure it would be Oakland, because it's possible Alameda County has the same protocols as the city of Berkeley.
Okay.
I mean, it may be, I'm just guessing, Fresno, Reno, probably would need to be out of the Bay Area. I don't know if they could do it logistically at this point, because, you know, they need to find a hotel. I mean, when you take the optics out, it's actually better for the players, right? They're in a hotel for 5 weeks. All they're doing is studying and playing football, and they're not socializing with the rest of the world. There's no distractions. It's just school and football. But the optics, you know, I don't know where their chancellor would come down on it. Carol Criss, she was in favor of restarting the season. There's no doubt about that. But bubbling the team somewhere else is that's a next level decision, and I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if she'd do it.
John Wilner is with us. When that story came out, the first reaction I had is, well, this is what happens when you try and jam 7 games into 7 weeks. Yep. And you don't start earlier. Yep. And you don't give yourself a bye opportunity. And when I believe, if I'm wrong, John, correct me, when the second schedule came out, that did not, not the one with Michigan, but the one that had the Huskies opening with Stanford, when that schedule came out, were there not 2 bye weeks built into that schedule?
There were. Each team had 2 bye weeks. There was 1 bye week within the season, And it was either week, I can't remember exactly, week three or week five, something like that, for makeup games. And then there was a week at the end for makeup games as well. So there were two, I think it was 10, 12 to play 10, if I recall correctly. This was this was early, July 31st. I think it was 12 to play 10, which is what the SEC has, right? And the Pac-12, and you know, I've written about this and talked about it for a while. They boxed themselves in initially by trying to start in September when they knew the California schools were going to be in big trouble. If they had just originally said, let's try to play in the middle of October and then kind of wait and see mode, they might have been able to pull that off, and then it would have been a much better schedule.
John Wilner joining us as he does each and every Tuesday at 4:20. So the debut of the Wilner Breakfast Game was the victim of simply bad timing ratings-wise, right? Tell us the story.
I mean, I don't know that it could possibly be any worse, right? The election is called 30 minutes before kickoff, right? So, I mean, very Pac-12, right? I mean, the whole thing, if you take out the tragedy component to the pandemic, it's just there have also been some misfortune, like the Michigan and Ohio State games in Pac-12 territory being canceled. But so the game drew, 2.3 million viewers, which is not great for that time slot. It's a high exposure time slot. But the CNN, MSNBC, and Fox had just gigantic numbers for that 12 to 1 Eastern window. They're normally 4 million viewers for those three news networks, and there were 14 million viewers this past weekend. So everything, college football got hit bad all over the place on Saturday because of the election. But boy, the Pac-12, it couldn't have been worse for them with their first 9 a.m. game, and it's 30 minutes after the thing's called.
Yeah, which I would hope would be factored in. I thought, to me, the most important thing that we saw Saturday is that it was a great game between USC and Arizona State. If it was a horrible game and guys are getting hurt like flies and it's sloppy football, that's not what we saw. So for me, at least, John, after that game was over, I felt like this is here to stay.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, there's certainly, I didn't see any reason not to do it again. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen again this season, because right, it requires two Pac-12 teams being okay doing it, but it also requires Fox saying we have a need on this date for a Pac-12 game because our other options aren't very good. So it's a two to tango thing, and I don't know if it'll work out in the next 6 weeks, but I certainly would think that the conference is going to be open to doing it again, you know, next year when things return to normal. And not every week, but two or three times. You get a good game two or three times over the course of the season, and it's going to serve a purpose for the conference.
Hey, what'd you make of Delore and the Cougs? Impressed by the Cougs or just disappointed by a really, really flat effort by Jonathan Smith's guys?
I'm going to say both. Right, I really thought Oregon State's defense would have done better. But the Cougs, you got to give it up for the Cougs, right? New coach, no spring ball, new freshman quarterback, you know, on the road, and they look good, right? I mean, it looked like Oregon State had never seen a Nick Rolovich offense when, in fact, they played Hawaii last year. So I was impressed. You know, we'll see, right, now that there's more film on Delora. And the run and shoot, it'll be interesting to see how Oregon and subsequent opponents, you know, defend them. But certainly, if you're a Washington State fan, I mean, you could not have asked for a better performance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, people thought Mike Leach was rolling after he hammered LSU in the opener. And then look what happened to him.
Yeah,
so let's kind of pause on crowning him after beating the Beavers on Saturday. But, John, before you go, quickly, UW given 13.5 this weekend to Oregon State. You've seen Oregon State. You haven't seen Washington. We think it'll be Kevin Thompson at quarterback. What do you make of the UW-Beaver matchup Saturday?
Well, I mean, from what I saw about from Oregon State, boy, you would have to like Washington's chances to win the game handily. The X factor is the fact that Oregon State has played a game. And even as poorly as they played, they were at least out there you know, going through the game energy, the game speed and execution. I think that that's a huge advantage. I think Cal's is going to be at a disadvantage. Utah, all the four teams that didn't play, facing teams that have had a game under their belt. To me, that's kind of the X factor, and that could be what ends up kind of giving the Beavers a chance to win. But from what I saw, boy, I would think the Huskies would be able to get control of that game at least in the second half.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you never know with a team playing for the first time. You know, communication errors, turnovers, you know, things like
Absolutely.
That. So we'll see what happens on Saturday. John, great stuff. Appreciate this. Let's hope for a full slate of games this weekend, and we'll talk next Tuesday, pal.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
John. You bet, man. Appreciate it. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. Let's get a break. Fact or Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino right now.
It's time for Fact.
Just the fact,
or Fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
All right, 3:35, Tuesday, Dick Day, right here on 950 KJR. You want the bell? What's the number at right now?
It's 8 right now. Okay, better be quick.
Let's listen to what that sounds like. You know, if I'd just heard that, I would think, like, is there a wedding going on here or something? Mike, somebody getting married? Is there a funeral? What the hell's happening here? 8 in a row for my man, Dick Fain. All right, big day. Let's get it, baby. What do you got?
I looked at teams that were due a win. I looked at teams that were due a loss, and I tried to see if any of those were playing each other, and I found a couple this week.
Okay.
And the Arizona Cardinals, after dropping one last week to Miami, a tough one, are headed back home, and they are going to be angry. They are going to be focused against a team that is just smelling themselves right now.
Oh, God. That's
the Buffalo Bills, everybody's talking about how great the Buffalo Bills are, and are they a threat to the Chiefs in the AFC, and Buffalo just ain't used to that. No question about it at all. And I like the Arizona Cardinals, and they're only given 1.5 points.
Wow.
To the Buffalo Bills. This is the third straight home game for Arizona. They have not had a road game since October 19th. You really think they're going to lose 2 out of 3 games at home with a bye week in there as well? I just don't think so.
I don't. I just really haven't heard a word you've said in the last 90 seconds because I can't get over the Bills smelling themselves.
What does that mean?
Like Josh Allen is smelling his pits?
They are feeling themselves, man.
God, anybody got any right guard around here?
They had all these roses thrown upon them, and the Buffalo Bills haven't learned how to handle prosperity.
Well, you just took the same game Shockey did an hour
ago.
Yeah, he took Arizona as well.
I feel okay about it. Wasn't Puckett. Yeah, yeah. I feel okay about
Puckett
it.
Took the same game as well at 11:35 today. So, I don't know. All right. So, Dick's got the same game as Shockey from an hour ago. 49451, fact or fiction. Fact if you agree. Fiction if you disagree. We're like Arizona minus the 0.5? Is that
point
right?
And a half,
you said 0.5 against the Bills in front of people, actual people, and not cardboard cutouts this weekend in Glendale, Arizona. Every day, 4 times a day, 7:35, 11:35, 2:35, and 3:35. We give you a game. If you get that game right, 1 game a week out of 20, you're in the mix for $1,000 a week, courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. The grand prize, of course, at $10,000, all courtesy of the entertainment capital of the Northwest, the Emerald Queen. 3:38. We'll get a break. A lot more to get to, including some thoughts on Russell Wilson, some new rules that are being thrown out there by the NFL, and then the Husky Honks with Terry Holloman, our guest honk, at 4 o'clock today, right here on Softy and
JR. Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Dick Baird will be here at 4 o'clock.
This kid doesn't look Jewish.
Terry Holloman will be here, who also doesn't look Jewish, at 4 o'clock today.
No. You going to let Dick talk about the kicking game?
No, not at all. He's banned. No more. No more kicking game conversation from
Baird. He's got to be fired up that we have a kicker that's second team preseason all conference.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I asked, they are keeping his range, though, in a vault, because I asked Jimmy Lake 2 weeks ago what Peyton Henry's range was, and he wouldn't tell us.
Is that surprising?
Jimmy, give us something. What's his range? I'm not telling you, man. I'm not going to tell you. So maybe we'll find out. Maybe when he hits a 60-yarder on Saturday, we'll find out what Peyton Henry's range is. Well, listen, Dogs and Beavers, Saturday, 8 o'clock kickoff on KJR. We'll get the honks in here. Terry Holloman, our guest honk this week with myself and Dick Baird. You see where PFF has, if you get a rating of 90-plus with Pro Football Focus, you're doing pretty good.
Yes.
They had a Seahawk this week with a plus 90 rating. You want to take a wild guess who it was? Any idea?
Carlos Dunlap.
That would be incorrect. I'll give you one more guess. One more guess.
Offense or defense? Will you give me a hint?
Offense. Offensive side of the ball.
Oh, my God.
Would you like me to narrow it down for you? Offensive line.
Okay.
Right side. Rookie.
Damian Lewis, yes. Okay, thanks.
Plays right guard for the Seahawks.
Good Lord.
Damian Lewis right now had a rating of 90-plus, is the sixth highest-rated guard in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. Mike Iupati is 15th in the NFL. Dwayne Brown is the sixth best tackle in the NFL. You got three guys that are top 15 at their position right now in the NFL. That's a hell of a difference, man. We got to give Mike Solari a little pat on the tuchus, don't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely. And last week was not an offensive line problem per se, because when you have absolutely no running game, as I've said a million times, Buffalo's just going to bring the heat. They know Russell Wilson's going to drop back every single play, and they can just go balls to the wall at the quarterback every single play, whether it's four, five, or six guys coming at him.
Yeah, they had 17 carries. Two of them were by Russell Wilson, so 15 carries by running backs in this game. Basically, of the 58 plays the Seahawks ran on Sunday, Russell Wilson was responsible for 43 of them. In this game on
Sunday. They ran
Sunday.
25% of the time. Right. That is embarrassing and not sustainable.
Well, I just think they need better players at running back because obviously they don't have the confidence in these guys to do what they want to do. I mean, I agree that they've got to have more balance and they got to have better balance, because I'll tell you what, there's two things that come to mind. Number one, Russell Wilson actually right now is on pace to throw more interceptions than he ever has in a season, and it's not even close. His previous high is 11. He's on pace for 16 right now. I mean, if you break it down this way, he's on pace to throw 594 passes, which the last time they went to a Super Bowl in 2014, that would be an extra 9 passes per game than what Russell Wilson did in 2014. So when you look at it that way, an extra 2.5 passes a quarter, that's starting to build up a little bit, right, over the course of a season. And you're risking two things: turnovers like you had on Sunday,
and injuries,
fumbles, and injury, right? Which, knock on wood, so far Russell Wilson has not been dealing with. I just think that this is all about getting Chris Carson back. They got to get this guy healthy. And frankly, it's starting to annoy the hell out of me, because I know that people don't want to talk about guys being injury prone. Mm-hmm. It's almost like insulting and personally offensive now to use that term in 2020. But what about Chris Carson doesn't make you think he's injury prone? This is now the third year in a row where this guy can't stay healthy.
Which is why the Seahawks aren't going to give him an extension unless they get a bargain basement deal.
And they might get, by the way.
They might get that now with so many running backs on the market. But this is the perfect example. Yeah, it was probably 2 weeks ago maybe when you mentioned that, you know, the Russell Wilson could throw for 6,000 yards and had 50 touchdowns.
Right.
And I kind of poo-pooed it as not necessarily a good thing. I don't want Russell Wilson throwing for 6,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, because the 50 touchdowns could accompany 18 to 20 interceptions, and he could get hammered in the process, and you don't have a running game. I don't think passing yards or passing touchdowns equate to a better win-loss percentage.
I think it's different if you have a running back. It's different if you have a threat of play action. It's different if you have a threat of a guy that can carry the ball 20 times a game. So, look, I mean, if Russell Wilson ends up throwing the ball 550 times, which would be 3 off his career high.
Perfect.
There's not a gigantic difference between 550 and 600, but it just means the running back's getting the ball more. It means Russell Wilson's touchdown percentage of 9.4 can still play a major role, and the guy might even throw for 50 touchdowns in that regard. Again, he's on pace right now for 594. So if it's 44 less the rest of the way, if it's, you know, 5 or 6 passes less per game, hey, look, maybe he gets 50, maybe he gets 55. I'll just repeat what I said yesterday. I don't care if Russell Wilson wins the MVP. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be nice. It'd be fun. It'd be great. It'd be really cool to see him win the MVP. I don't care how many wins the Seahawks get. I don't care really how many yards they get, touchdowns they give up, touchdowns they throw for. I care about one thing. Just like the Husky basketball team, I don't care about winning the Pac-12. I care about the Final Four and the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. Tell me how far they go in the playoffs.
Yep.
That's what I want to know. So the question still is this team built to make a deep run in the playoffs, in a year in 2020 where offenses are exploding all over the place in the NFC? If they play a Tampa Bay, if they play a Green Bay, if they play a New Orleans, if they play in Arizona, for example, in the playoffs. I mean, God forbid if they see a Kansas City in the mm-hmm. Super Bowl. Is this defense built to make a deep run? Because you and I have both agreed on this.
Mm-hmm.
To make 2020 a success, you got to take the next step, which is the conference title game.
Yes, and right now you have a huge hole in the hull of your ship, but you have a month and a half to patch it up. Now, you're not going to patch it up to the point where no water gets into it. I mean, the defense is not going to be top 10.
Yeah.
I think we can decide.
Are there enough buckets?
Pretty fair, yeah.
Are there enough buckets to get the water out?
I think there's enough buckets.
Yeah.
I think there's enough buckets, and you got more people coming in to bail them out, too, which is going to help.
Yeah.
But again, if you can get somewhere into that 15 to 20 range in points allowed, and I think you can do, and even if you start over just right now and just say, this is game one of the season coming up against the Rams. Right. And from here to the end of the season, if you can be somewhere in that 15 to 20 range in points allowed, yes, you can get to 12 wins. Yes, you can get the 1 or 2 seed. And yes, you can get to a Super Bowl.
Let's get a break. The Husky Honks, Dick Baird, will join us on the radio show.
This kid doesn't look Jewish.
Terry Holloman, our guest honk for the week, talking dogs, baby, next for an hour on 950 KJR.